Good evening, and I'm Rich Neffel for DeathScream.net, and I'm here with Pat Ranieri from the immortal, so it seems, Hellwitch.
Yes, you are.
Good evening, Pat.
Good evening, Rich.
Now tell me, it's taken the band 20 years to make a follow-up LP to that auspicious debut, which I can barely pronounce. Is it you, Miss Crancy, out there to say, does it have anything to do with the groupie situation? What took 20 years?
We did the recording for Wild Rags, which you speak of, Syzygial Miscreancy, in 1990, and we did another EP in 91, which was for Wild Rags, but, we had a problem with them, as did so many other bands, and then we probably had negotiated with probably three or four more labels all through the 90s, and then... our drummer Joe left the band. We had a couple other drummers. And then after about 97, 98, it just wasn't really doable anymore. It just wasn't any fun for anybody due to the drummer we had lived 3 hours away, and it was just a big hassle to even keep the band going. So basically in 2004, Joe and I got back together just to kind of have fun with the songs and, restarted the band kind of at that point. And it was just the two of us for probably 6 months and nothing serious. And then it just kind of took off from there. And then, we decided that everything was going good, that we would, write a few songs and take some of the songs from the mid-90s that we had already written for the second album and get them all back together. And then... finally, by 2008, we were ready to record again.
The new one, it's called Omnipotent Convocation, and I have done a review of it, and it turns out that this is a stone-cold classic. Hellwitch have done it again, and I don't give too many rave reviews.
Wow. What do you think of it? Well, thanks very much, Rich. I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, like I said, a lot of those songs were from, the mid-96, 97, which, was a really good time when we were writing. And then actually, the first two songs on the new one are the brand new songs, which I, think are even better than the ones from the mid-90s. But, really, so many bands, they always say, oh, it's our newest stuff is our best stuff yet. And you know what? It really rarely is. I rarely hear bands' new albums, that have disbanded then regrouped, and it's, a decade later, and they're saying, this is our best thing ever. And it's rarely like that. But I can say Omnipotent Convocation is, it really still has that Hellwitch feel to it. And, it is, something that you listen to, and you pick up on it right away. It's not just, whatever. This is our new album. It's the best thing ever. It's really, I think it's got something to it that is long-lasting, and I think it will be seen in regard to Syzygial as far as, riffs that are pretty much timeless, and you won't hear them again from any other band, and I think the style remains that, we don't sound like any other band, and I'm real particular about that. I mean, I listen to things every day, and I always find that, oh, this sounds like them. Oh, that riff, that sounds like Slayer. Oh, this sounds like, Possessed or whatever. I'm always able to draw comparisons to most things I hear. And I honestly, I try to look at Hellwitch as, hey, whatever, it's just, I'm going to listen to it, and as a fan, as a listener, what do I think? Is it okay, or does it suck, or is it fair? I listened to it, to the new one, and I think it's, it's pretty uphill. And again, it doesn't sound like other bands, and definitely you could hear it and be into it. You listen to it, and it's like, wow, this is, this is pretty good. It's pretty happening the first couple listens. You can tell that it's got something going on that is pretty unforgettable. So, I'm glad that you like it, Rich, and, hopefully other people will, and, we'll see what happens, because we're actually even writing more new songs right now that we've got this tour set up. So, hopefully things will progress, and, we'll keep pushing through the snow and ice and, you know, kill people dead.
Oh, okay, Pat. I think it might have something to do with the fact that your album takes me back, first of all, to Malevolent Creation, The Ten Commandments, 1990, and among other bands, that the Morrisound thing. I think it's a Morrisound connection, but for me, I think what really separates Hellwitch is that you guys are the creators of United States death metal. I mean, you started in 1984. To tell everybody out here, you created this style.
Yeah, well, I guess possibly that's a possibility. I mean, I as everybody grew up with Priest and Scorpions and AC/DC and, you know, Moore and Angel Witch and Venom and all that, and then heard No Life to Leather, the Metallica demo, of course, and that kind of steered me in the right direction. And I was right on board right away. I mean, I was like, wow, this is something to do, you know. I mean, I was playing guitar for only a couple of years, and I heard Fast Picking, and I was like, wow, this is what it's all about. As far as music and guitar playing and drumming, this is what life is all about. And I had a real passion for the music, and inevitably, it started as soon as I could find a drummer that basically could play fast. And I mean, actually, our first drummer, Dave, from the early demos, he didn't even know what was going on with this kind of music, and I actually taught him the beats and said, this is how you do the beat, and you just do it fast and keep it even. And it was rough. It was just trying to find anyone who would listen to me and was interested in trying to do it. And I think that I definitely founded some sort of sound that hadn't been heard before, definitely. As far as death or thrash or whatever, I would agree that possibly I was somewhat of a pioneer in that regard.
Pat, I'm listening to Omnipotent Convocation, and I'm thinking, wow, are these guys going to actually go on a grueling tour? Are you planning any tour?
Yes, we actually are right now. We're going to be playing all up through the Northeast, including Pittsburgh and Cleveland, New York City, a few other places, Secaucus, New Jersey, a few other shows up in that area, and everywhere from like May 5th to about May 14th, something like that, I think. And I think we're going to be doing, 6, 7, 8 shows, something like that. And yeah, this is actually going to happen, so... if you're hearing this now, come to the show and, get crazy and, steal something, smash some stuff, and have a good time.
Pat, how old are you?
I'm 47.
Yeah.
Yeah, 47 and going strong. I still play tennis a couple times a week, roller skate a bit, whatever. Have a good time.
So what is the groupie situation like for Hellwitch?
I don't know. There really has never been one. I think that people are afraid. I think that girls are afraid. I mean, they see us. They hear me scream. They think that I'm psychotic, which, is correct. And I think they just kind of go the other way when they see me coming. So, yeah, that's never really been anything. That's never really happened to us, so I don't know much about that. I've seen it on, VH1 specials. That's about all I know.
You guys would have been you would have been a household name. This must have something to do with Wild Rags Records, because... Can you tell us the story about Ricardo Campos and the Wild Rags Records thing?
Yeah, sure. Well, He had been selling the 87 Mortarivial Dissemination demo in his store since 87. And then around 89, I was talking to a friend of mine, Mark, who had Tornado magazine in Chicago, and he had talked to Richard regularly. Richard was selling our demos, but I had never spoken with him. And Mark said, hey, you know, he would sign you. He would put out an album if you guys went with him. And we were like, wow, you know, all right, that sounds good. Because basically, you know, Wild Rags was... those products were in record stores in Southeast Florida, and I knew that he had European distribution, he had pretty good U.S. distribution, and the other smaller labels that we were talking with at that time didn't have that, like didn't have what he had, at least, you know. Nobody had anything really big going on, but, and you know, so I called him. He was a fast talker. He was, you know, he seemed cool enough. I mean, I had never had problems collecting the money for the demos he sold. And, so we signed with him. And, basically he put out the album. And then, when, you know, according to the contract, we were supposed to get a royalty check every so often. And, that never happened. That never, ever happened. And I mean, I contacted him and called him, and eventually he told me that, first, he said we had sold, I think, 9 or 10,000. And then when it came time to make the payment to us, he said that there were a lot of quote-unquote returns. Oh, we had a lot of returns, and they just didn't sell. And he says, you only sold about, you know, whatever, 2,000, 3,000. And I said, okay, well, send us the money for that. And he never sent anything.
Oh,
and basically... Yeah, I mean, he never sent anything, and then after a couple more calls, I just kind of gave up on it, you know. I just was like, well, this is pretty much the end of this deal. We're never going to get a penny out of this guy. I mean, the only good thing I can say is he did do good promotion for the album. I'm sure it sold a lot more than what he said, because there was basically in the U.S. it was cassette and vinyl pressing, and in Europe it was vinyl and CD pressing. And geez, I've started getting all kind of mail from overseas of, you know, people who bought it in record stores in Europe. So I knew that, you know, it sold quite a bit. It had to sell between Europe and the United States. It had to sell, you know, more than 3,000. I'm positive. And yeah, you know, after that, I mean, live and learn. Well, live and not learn, as it turns out, because we had other, you know, problems with other labels, even worse problems after that little episode. But yeah, and then I heard, what, like maybe 10 years ago, that he went to prison for tax evasion or something like that, and hopefully he did. So
maybe
I don't know.
Maybe he's still there, too.
Pardon?
Maybe still in prison.
Yeah, hopefully he's making license plates for the state of California or something, you know.
Huh.
He pressed vinyl, maybe he can press license plates.
You know, you come to see Hellwitch, how many people can you guys pack in? You think you can pack in 500, and like if you play New York City, that's where I'm at.
Wow, I would think so, yeah. I mean, because really, we've only played the Northeast once, and that was in 1990. So, I mean, this would be basically, you know, we played a couple shows in 1990, and that was it. And now we're going to play several in that, you know, that whole area. So I would imagine for the first time ever, people that have known us and know of us from, you know, the earlier days, they will come out and check it out. You know, I would say, yeah, I would say definitely at least 500 people should show up to at least the New York City show, because, I mean... New York City is like, that's, you know, that's a scene there. That's, you know, kicks ass.
Pat, what do you think has changed the most in the years since the first album and the new one? And who's in the band these days?
Well, what's changed the most from the first album to now? Basically... when we listen to the Syzygial Miscreancy recording, it seems that, number one, the vocals could have used a bit of improvement. I really had not, you know, perfected my vocal style. And the songs seem to have lacked a certain degree of flow. And so basically, going into the second album, we concentrated a lot on those two things, you know, basically having my vocals be a little bit more palatable for, you know, whatever, the average listener, because, I mean, they were a little bit screechy, I would say, on the first recording, and now they're not quite that, you know, not quite as screechy, I would say, and a little bit more well-produced this time around. And the songs have less abrupt stops and less abrupt changes. It's a little more of a, has a little bit more flow to it, but yet it still retains that, you know, the originality of where you can hear each riff, and it's not like a riff from another band. It's a riff that you've never heard that doesn't sound like anyone else. You know, you cannot say that a Hellwitch song sounds like another band. That's totally impossible. So, yeah, I would say that's the major difference in the music and the two recordings. And, of course, you know, now we have Pro Tools and we have better amps and better mics and better everything. So that, you know, that kind of made life easier with the new recording. And as far as the lineup, basically we have Joe Witch, who has been the drummer since 1989. And he and I are still going strong and still, you know, perfectly connected in our music together. And Craig Shattuck, who was our guitarist since 91 to basically 94, and then he started playing bass around that time. And also in 94, J.P. Brown joined as the second rhythm guitarist. And that's pretty much the lineup. I mean, yeah, this lineup has been together for, you know, 20 years. And I mean, it, with the exception of JP, this lineup has been together 20 years. So it's pretty much, you know, this is the Hellwitch lineup.
Are you in the music business otherwise, other than the music? What has kept you afloat all these years?
Well, I also have been an avid, you know, concert video collector and, you know, distributor. And I've been, you know, a lot of people will know that, yeah, I've been trading concert, you know, death, black, thrash, whatever, punk, VHS tapes was the beginning in 84. And, yeah, I still do that now. I still trade videos, and I have a website, and I still, you know, still sell videos. And, you know, I do okay with that. It's, you know, more of a hobby than anything else. And, you know, I just work a another job as well, which involves me being a landlord.
Are there any bands that you like from the up and coming death metal bands from Florida that you like, or who are you listening to these days?
What am I listening to these days? Well, I mean, there's Demolich, who is pretty much the best band that has ever existed in the world, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, Demolich. Antti Bowman, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He actually did guest vocals on our new album on the first track.
Amazing.
And, yeah, I didn't know if you were aware of that, Rich, but, yeah, he's on there. He does a couple, he does a line in, you know, in on the first song of the new CD. I also really, I don't know, I've been listening to Dew Scented a little bit, you know, like their 2002, I think it was called Inwards album, and Dimension Zero, like Dimension Zero quite a bit. I don't know. I'm kind of stumped at the moment.
Uh-huh. As far as that. Well, what about some new death metal bands out of Florida? Do you know any of them? What is that, Suicide Scream?
No. No, I'm not aware. I'm not aware of many death metal bands from Florida. I don't really, you know, I don't really hear many of them, and I am not really familiar with many of them these days.
I remember Brutality, and
there you go.
There's one that sounded like you guys. I mean, as far as anybody sounding like you guys, you're absolutely right. I'd have to look at the finished death metal masters like Demigod before I could even begin to tell you how fun you guys are. We'd have to think about Pungent Stench, or, you know, just the bands that really make death rock. You guys make it rock.
Yeah.
Like a steamroller on that new album. It's amazing. Just crank that up. I want people to crank this album up.
It moves forward. It definitely, like, you listen to it and you don't get bored. You don't lose interest. I mean, it's, you know, you can have a real short attention span and you'll still like it.
Absolutely. What do you think of all the social insanity these days? The Charlie Sheens, the Lady Gagas. What's your opinion about all this madness? Is there any light at the end of this tunnel?
No. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, and it's crumbling, and whatever. As long as it doesn't affect me in my home and doesn't interfere with my activities, you know, whatever. Let the chips fall where they may. But yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty funny. You know, I mean, I see things on TMZ and whatever on television, and I think it's pretty crazy. You know, I mean. You know, how much does one person need, you know? It's like, what do you need and you know, what does it take to keep you acting semi-normal, you know? I mean, what is there, you know? I mean, life is what you make of it, and if you make it like an idiot, then, you know, you end up whatever, you know, with a rough life, a hell of a rough life.
The biggest difference with today's youth is that they're actually getting pacified by the doctors who are actually giving them pills to take and everything instead of, you know, just letting nature take its course. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's crazy because really, I mean, you know, when you and I were growing up, I didn't know any kids in school who were on pills for anything. And now you hear about, like, oh, well, he's got, you know, ADD, and this kid's got that, and this kid's hyperactive, and, you know, he's on this, and he's on Ritalin, and he's on Adderall, and whatever, you know. And it's just, that's just, I don't know. I can't imagine that, you know, 30 years ago, the kids weren't basically the same human beings as they are today, but somehow... Today there's this need for all this medication, and in the 70s there was no need for any of that. You never heard of any of that. I mean, you know, it was discipline was what kept you in line and what kept you on the right path in life, you know?
Well, I'm talking with the seemingly immortal Pat Ranieri from the creators of Floridian death metal, Hellwitch. I am Rich Castle, and this is Rich Castle Presents, and this is our show here for the DeathScream.net magazine, an online site, and it's incredible to be talking with you. Are you shifting many units of the new album, Omnipotent Convocation, Pat?
I'm not sure. I think we've sold well over 1,000 at least. I'm not sure, but again, we haven't gotten those figures from our record label as of yet, so I'm not sure.
What is the record label that you released the new one on?
The new one is on Extreme Music from Madrid, Spain. And basically, you know, he's seems like an honest individual. He does a lot of releases. He releases a new album, a new CD every month. And,
yeah. Did he do Deceased, right? He did a Deceased album, right?
Well, yeah, I think he did. Yeah, I think he actually did. But, he lately is doing a lot of, you know, the bands from the old school that are kind of reforming or whatever, or re-releasing old recordings in some cases. And, he seems pretty straight up.
Right. You know, the whole thing that used to be who was going to get on a major label, we had Testament on Atlantic, and that was a big deal. But when we're talking about this type of music, we're really talking about a hardcore thing. I mean, that's what it was regarded as back then. It was like, wow, that's very hardcore. That's how I remember it as in New York City.
You mean hardcore punk or hardcore metal? Or
see, that's where the divide comes in. That's where the divide comes in, and it's just that I think it's more it's more of an attitude.
Yeah,
the difference between metal and punk is an attitude, and there's a lot more difference in styling.
Yes,
you guys
yes.
have a very complicated. I mean, these songs that you're doing now, they might sound less complicated than the first album or Terra Symmetry, the EP, but actually this stuff just sounds like it's pieced together in practice. How, you must have rehearsed quite a lot for this new one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those songs on the new album, yeah, that was, you know, like I said, they were, some of them are from 96, 97, and then they were rehashed and reworked now, and then probably four of them are brand new, which were all done. One of them was completed maybe 2 weeks before we went into the studio. I believe the very first song on the CD was actually finished, the composition was finished like a couple weeks before we recorded it. And we reworked them and went through the parts and, you know, made sure that everything sounded in that Hellwitch style and, you know, had the originality, didn't sound like anything else, had a good flow to it, you know, had an interesting sound that kept, you know, kept everyone happy and kept everyone excited when you listen to it. And, yeah, we really strived for that. I mean, there were so many parts and so many ideas that we just threw away because they just weren't, you know, it was kind of, you know, middle of the road. You've heard it before, or it just wasn't that, you haven't heard it, but it wasn't that good. And we scrapped, like, so many parts that just didn't make the cut to give, you know, to give our audience this, you know, this recording, which is the creme de la creme.
At this point in the interview, I've done it last night. Gori Lori Bravo of Nuclear Death, she picked up her guitar and started playing something exclusive for us. So you wouldn't have a guitar nearby, would you, Pat?
Yeah, I actually do, right in the next room. I actually was just practicing right before you called.
Go get it. Let's hear something impromptu. Come on.
Okay, hold on. Let me switch phones here, Rich, and we'll see what we can muster up. Hold on.
Yes. Here we go. This is going to be Pat Ranieri of the very heavily distorted Hellwitch, and we're going to hear what he sounds like, just him and his guitar. This is going to be Pat Ranieri of the immortal Floridian death metal legends.
Rich?
Hellwitch. Take it.
Okay, let me see what we can do here.
Get nice and close to the microphone, and hope everybody here at deathscream.net will enjoy what Rich Castle presents tonight.
Should do it for now.
There we have it. What was that a piece of? Was that a piece of any tune in particular?
That was Dark Angel. That was, what was it, Darkness Descends, or one of those songs?
Yes, I did recognize when you started descending in that riff. That was great.
Yeah, I love warming up with that Dark Angel.
Using?
Pardon me?
What are you using there? What kind of guitar? What kind of amplifier?
I have a 1985 Gibson Flying V with the original Kaler tremolo with the MG pickups, and I have a Marshall JCM 900 amp and Boss ME5 effects pedal and Crybaby Wah-Wah. But right now I'm just playing through my little PV Decade in my in my room here, which is, you know, when I rehearse alone, I just basically have a little amp here that I, you know, run through the parts with.
Did you ever get to meet Chuck Schuldiner of Death?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, he actually performed with us in Gainesville on October the 25th of 86, which was a show we did with Corrosion of Conformity when they came through Gainesville. And Chuck came up from Orlando with these two guys from Guillotine Magazine, and he came up to stay with me. And he stayed at my apartment for a few days, and he performed Infernal Death with us live at the show. And Yeah, he was a really, really cool guy. I mean, we smoked up and hung out and talked a lot of shit, and he was really, really, really cool guy. I miss him dearly.
Yeah, I remember you did Infernal Death, and actually Cam Lee was on vocals from the Mortal Massacre. That was on your first album. Is that correct?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, I don't know. We've only done Infernal Death on a recording on the new CD, and that's pretty much been it.
Oh, okay, there we go. That's where it is. That's on the new one.
Yeah, that's just... And to tell you the truth, on the new one, it was supposed to be Cam Lee and I both singing, but things didn't really work out with him doing his part, so I ended up just doing the whole thing.
He's got one deep voice, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's brutal, definitely. Yeah, and he actually performed Infernal Death with us on May the 25th of 86 in Tampa. We played an outdoor festival there, and he came up on stage and did the vocals for Infernal Death at that show.
Do you have any footage from it you might want to pass along to us so we can share with the DeathScream.net audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I have videos of both of those performances. They aren't, the one with Chuck is not the greatest quality. The one with Cam is perfect quality. And, sure, absolutely. I'd love to share it with your people.
Oh, send it along. We'll post it up. Pat,
cool.
What do you think about when I say these words to you? Love and Jesus.
Love. Well, what do I think? Well, that's a tough one. I think a lot of people are confused by what love is. I think a lot of people spend a lot of time looking for love and never find it. And some people, you know, find something that is even greater than love, which is kind of the boat I'm in right now, fortunately. But
wow.
As far as Jesus... or as Homer says, Jeebus, I don't know. I think he was just some guy, you know. I think maybe he's given a little more credit than he deserves, and, you know, but then again, I can't say for sure, you know. Maybe I'm mistaken, maybe not. Who really knows, you know? I mean, when you read books that were written by someone, you have to take it with a grain of salt, so I don't know. But, I mean, as far as Jesus, it seems like it's kind of caused a lot more damage in the world and in society than it has helped people. It seems like his name has brought a lot of pain and suffering, you know, and the amount of good it has brought is negligible.
Okay, we're going to be wrapping up the interview, and I want to know if there's anything you'd like to announce to our worldwide audience out here or give any shout-outs, Pat?
Thanks for the interview, Rich. I appreciate it. And to all the people up in the Northeast, come to the shows and, come out and say hello and see what's going on and... thanks a lot for the interview. I appreciate it.
You got it, Pat. This is Rich Castle presents on DeathScream.net. And let me say to everybody out there, rock on. Good night, Pat.
Good night, Rich.